Stugatz here for Advance Auto Parts. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Batteries start at just $79.99. They'll also have curbside pickup on any order. Enter the code DAN20 when you buy online to save 20% on your order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details.
Hello, welcome friends to the Local Hour. I'm Billy Gill and I'm joined by some very special invited guests today. I'm joined by Charlie Hume, Charlie Kravitz, Elizabeth Fearman, and Lorenzo. Hello, Lorenzo. How are you?
Hello, Billy. Hello, everyone.
Lorenzo, once again, you realize this is an audio podcast, right? So you putting up Disney World behind you does absolutely nothing for our audience.
Okay, not just Disney World. Cinderella's Castle right down the beautiful Main Street, USA.
Okay. The reason that we have Lorenzo on today is because we wanted to discuss, as you guys know, the NBA, I guess, may or may not be coming back. And the list of Disney hotels the teams will be staying at has been released. And Lorenzo was very excited about this because he used to work at Disney World, which shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. And he's very familiar with all these hotels. So he seems to think that certain hotels will give certain teams advantages and disadvantages. So we brought him on to kind of dig into his expertise on who might have an advantage when the NBA comes back. So this is intended to be kind of an NBA and sports conversation, but I feel like this is not going to be heading in that direction, will it, Lorenzo?
It's the wonderful world of Disney, NBA edition. The world is a carousel of color.
I guess we can legally sing that, right? Do we own that?
I hope so.
We own that.
Let's hope so. Please, Papa Walt.
Okay, Lorenzo, now you have to talk because you're going to tell us about the hotels.
Oh, it's my turn? Okay. Is that where we're starting or we're just going to well, first off, I think we got to do a disclaimer here. Off the top, full disclosure, I love Disney. I worked for Disney in three different capacities as a college program cast member back in 2006. And I was just a 21-year-old lad coming up in college. I was an ESPN PA in 2013 up in Bristol, the mothership. And now in our current capacity as a contractor for Disney. So just putting that out there because I know what's going to come. I know all the cynicism out there, the negativity in the world. Yeah, there isn't a traditional NBA playoffs in arenas. There's not going to be a crowd. The players are going to be living in and Mickey Mouse is going to get a huge chunk of this cash if indeed this league does happen. And yes, I don't care. I don't care if you think we're shilling for Mickey Mouse.
Please, please, please tell us about the hotels. We're begging you. Please tell us about
Zion Williamson sleeping on a twin size bed. Like, give us like what the yacht club is.
Well, I have one idea that I think I threw it out to you, Charlie Kravitz, of the NBA MVP of the finals should be able to stay at.
You did throw this out to me.
Isn't that like instead of the car that they can probably buy with their millions of dollars or any of the other little site or the little trophy? Staying at Cinderella's suite up in her castle is quite the exclusive reward, don't you think, Elizabeth Fearman?
It really is. It's sort of priceless.
Have you guys seen this? It's not like it's very hard to get.
It's a place you can stay?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been impossible to book that room for years now. I think they allowed visitors to start staying in Cinderella's castle somewhere like back in 2015, I think it was. And since then, it's impossible to...
How does that work, Lorenzo? You that knows everything about Disney World. How do you get in there? Because I don't see people walking through the front gate with their luggage and like, you know, a pillow that they brought from home and like their blanket and their comforter. So how do you get to Cinderella's
castle?
Why
would you bring your own blanket and pillow and comforter when you go to a hotel?
That is a fair question.
I do.
I'd like to detour and to ask a little bit about Billy's hotel habits.
What do you bring?
What do you bring to stay in a hotel, Billy?
It all depends on how far I'm going and how long I'm going to be there, you know? Orlando, for example. If I'm going to Orlando for a weekend, sometimes, you know, I don't get great sleep, so I'll take a pillow with me, you know? And sometimes, you know, if I'm driving up and it's like a 3-hour drive, I have all the space in the car, it's just me and my wife, I'll say, you know what? I'm going to bring a blanket, and then when I get to the hotel, just take that blanket off, put that in the closet, we'll put that on a chair or something, and I'll just use a comfortable blanket. Is that weird? Does no one else do that? Seems like no one else does that.
But I've done this on road trips.
Hold on.
Billy, you and I are the only ones that have actually driven to Walt Disney World, have done that long 3-4 hour trip.
I feel like this may be a class thing, though. You know what I mean? Like, this may be a thing where, like, I'm not staying at the same hotels that Charlie is staying at. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm like, let me make sure that everything around me is nice and tidy and clean. Not the situation that any of these NBA players are
dealing with. Billy's an all-star music guy, and Charlie's more of a Grand Floridian guy, right?
Full disclosure, I don't know
what that means, but
I have never – those are Disney hotels. I've never stayed at a Disney hotel. So when
you've never stayed on property?
Never. So when you walk us through all these hotels, which, again, you've yet to mention the name of a single hotel.
Any moment now.
I have the list here. I have the list here.
Okay. Well, we can get to that at some point, I'm hoping. But I've never stayed at any of them. So you're going to be walking all of us through for the first time. Charlie Kravitz has never been to Disney World. Elizabeth loves Disney. Charlie Hume, I don't know how he feels about Disney.
I could take it. I could leave it. I mean, it's not terrible. My dad was obsessed with Disney. Maybe there was so much Disney in my life from an early age that I just didn't love it in the same way. Mm. But yeah, I mean, Lorenzo, I feel like it would be if I could structure you just for a brief second. If we could start with maybe
wrangle me in.
You could tell us each of the hotels and maybe give us, you know, a couple pros, couple cons for each, so we can get a sense of what's good about these hotels, why a team would want to stay in it, why a team would want to avoid it.
Okay, considering that some of these were built since I've last been to Disney.
Let's start with the top seeds.
So wait a second. We're passing you off as a hotel expert that doesn't actually know about hotels.
I'm more of a parks expert. I've been to all the parks. I haven't been to Disney or to Galaxy's Edge. That's the thing that's missing. That's the big Star Wars land that was just open.
Okay. I'm sorry. I detoured you. Let's go back to the hotels.
All right. So they're going to be staying at 4 specific resorts. It starts off with the top seeds, the top 4 seeds in each conference, which are the Bucks, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Raptors, the Nuggets, the Jazz, the Celtics, and the Heat. Wait, in each conference? No, that's not right.
That makes sense. That's 8 teams. 4 teams.
You did it in a really weird way where you went like east, west, east, west, west, east, east.
I think you did it overall record, which is okay.
That's right. Those 8 are staying in the Grandestino Tower. That's one of the newer Disneyland 5-star resorts that they have on property. It looks, from everything I've seen, beautiful. Everything, all the amenities that you would expect. The pool, world-class gym. From the stuff that I've read about, they're going to get movie screenings. There's going to be a DJ on site.
Time out.
They're going to have ping pong on.
Guys, time out, because I love the first place you went was like, they have like a pool. Like they have all the basic amenities you can expect from a hotel. And also almost as soon as you started describing it, Elizabeth started shaking her head in disbelief. So Elizabeth, what can we clean up on?
I was just laughing. It's in addition to what, Coronado Springs, Lorenzo?
Okay, so there we go.
It's a new addition. I believe it is the newest, not one of the newest properties.
It's Disney World. I've seen the Coronado Springs. The Coronado Springs is top notch.
Okay, so Elizabeth knows more about this than you do. So why don't you just tell Elizabeth the hotel and then she can tell us about the hotel?
You just heard. They added this. You probably are a better authority on this, Elizabeth, than I am. When's the last time you went to the parks?
Like a year ago?
Oh, wow. Lucky. Billy probably went, what, last weekend?
No, because there's coronavirus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That little pesky pandemic. What about, when was it then? Right before the pandemic then? I believe you told me you were going.
I did. Last time I went, I think, was in November, December. I don't know why I keep doing this. I don't know why I keep doing this.
What are we working with here? Charlie, both of the Charlies have never gone, apparently.
What?
I'm the only one that's ever gone, I think.
Hume, when did you go?
He just told us that he used to go a lot as a kid, that his dad loved Disney World. Are you not listening?
But when was that? Like when you were like 5, when you were 10? There's different experiences.
Okay, all right, how about this? I'll share a Disney.
You can't ride rock and roller coaster at age 4 Because you're not
maybe the maybe this requirement. Maybe this will get you going in the right direction. So okay. I grew up in California. We would go to Disneyland a lot. And so let me share a little Disney memory with you.
Did you go to the California Adventure?
I did. We stayed there. Okay, so two Disney memories for you. So I went to the California Adventure Park when they made it the Cal Adventure Park when the mm-hmm. Orioles were in town, and they changed the name of it for Cal Ripken Jr.'s last season. That was pretty sweet. Also stayed on the Disney property when the Angels played the Giants in the World Series. With my dad and my grandpa and my little brother. And that was very cool too. So I'm more of a Disneyland California Adventure guy, but that's just because that's where I grew up. So yeah, that, I don't think anybody cares about that. So the next hotel that's not the, whatever the first hotel you said was, is what and which teams will be staying there?
The next one, which are the fifth to eighth seeds in each conference, they're going to be staying at your hotel, Charlie Hume, the Grand Floridian. If you know your Disney resorts, this used to be the crown jewel of the Disney World Resort hotels, and was also the backdrop to one Thunder in Paradise. Thunder in Paradise.
What is that? Should I know that?
Yeah, wait, Billy, you're clapping. You know about Thunder in Paradise. Please tell me.
You seemed like you wanted some sort of payoff, so I thought we were supposed to clap. I wasn't sure what we were going for.
Thunder in Paradise was the
Is that the Hulk Hogan show?
Yes, the 90s show where the Hulkster rode around on a speedboat. It was basically Knight Rider, but with a boat.
So if I could just ask, because Elizabeth, you do many different things at ESPN, but you're one of the many things you do. You're an event planner extraordinaire. So you can look at this whole setup. So why would, if the Grand Floridian is indeed like this crown jewel of hotels, why are the top teams staying in this other hotel? Is it just because it's newer?
It's not the newest hotel. Got so it. Grand Floridian is a very classic Disney property. I would say when shows like Full House and Family Matters did their Disney World episodes, that's probably where they were staying, probably the backdrop.
It's kind of got like a what would you call it, like a Victorian look to it, kind of a feel to, like, it's very luxurious. There's massages you can get in your each of your suites. It's right next to Cinderella's castle, so you're able to see illuminations.
Across the water from Magic Kingdom, so you can see the fireworks each night from.
Is it still Wishes? Wishes?
I think so.
I love that Lorenzo.
Every fireworks show has a name, by the way.
He's like, they have massages there. It's like, again, like they have bars of soap in the bathroom, and they offer you complimentary shampoo.
They have very good restaurants at the Grand Floridian.
Oh, nice.
Eliz, what's the best of the resort restaurants? Because I don't want to spoil it
because you haven't said the hotel yet, but I know what's coming up.
My favorite restaurant experience is not in one of the NBA assigned team hotels.
Okay.
Minus.
I bet you're going to tell us what it is.
Wait, is it? Hold up. Is it? No, it's not. It is on the top floor of the Contemporary Resort. You know what I'm talking about?
California Grill.
Yeah. So the California Grill, the Contemporary Resort, was one of the first original hotels that was built on the Walt Disney World Resort property. It's famous because the monorail actually goes through the whole hotel, and also is home to Chef Mickey's character breakfast. Thank you, Billy.
Where the characters eat breakfast with you, you can make, you know, reservations and they'll eat with you. They do that at multiple places because I did that at the one that was like Polynesian themed.
That's the other one. The Polynesian Resort has the Mickey's, or actually no, now it's the Lilo and Stitch Luau. And it's a full-fledged like Hawaiian Polynesian show with hula dancers and flame jugglers.
There was none of that. We were just eating breakfast with like Goofy and whatever. Are any teams staying there or no?
No. So the other teams are staying at a hotel called Yacht Club, and I've never been to Disney World, but these are the teams that are vying for playoffs. To be in the playoffs. And that leads the question, is there a discernible disadvantage to staying at the Yacht Club compared to the Grand Floridian or the Grand Destino Tower?
Because it sounds cool. Yacht Club sounds like the one I want to be in.
Eliz, you were shaking your head. I haven't been to the Yacht Club.
I've never stayed at the Yacht Club. I stayed at the Beach Club, which is the, I would say, like, sister hotel. But my favorite Disney resort restaurant is at the Yacht Club. It's a steakhouse called the Yachtsman, I think.
Ooh. Can I ask you guys a question? So, like, these teams, once they make it into the playoffs, do they then upgrade and move to another hotel, or are they staying put?
I like that idea.
That's what I thought would be great. Upsets, you get, like, you can take their floor at the hotel.
Yeah.
You hop on the Disney Magical Express.
Yeah.
You go down to, like, two queen beds instead of a king.
Well, that's, like, that's what I would, that would be great, is, like, if the bed situation was worse for the worst teams, like, LeBron gets a king size bed in his hotel, but then you get
obviously.
To
obviously,
like, but you get to like the 11th seed. You're at like the Sacramento Kings, and you put like Harry Giles and De'Aaron Fox, and they have to share a room, and they each get twin beds, and they don't get their own room at this hotel. That's a legitimate disadvantage.
Or you could be at the Wilderness, not the Wilderness Lodge, but what's Camp Wilderness? Camp. Oh, what's it called? Is it Camp Wilderness?
You're the expert.
I don't know. You're allegedly the expert.
No, wait, hold up. It's Fort.
I thought it was maybe Fort Wilderness.
Yeah, it's Fort Wilderness, not Fort Camp Wilderness. Wilderness.
There we go.
Sorry, this was 2006. Bear with me, people. You can actually like rent bring your RVs or your camping gear and camp out in the Florida wilderness.
This podcast would have killed in 2006.
Like, no one can see your background. You're turning the show.
It's just amazing.
You're also covering the castle, so it just looks like a regular street.
I also have to read my notes here.
Oh, you have notes?
Really? Wow, that's...
I have some notes.
Would have never known.
What do your notes say?
Yeah.
Well, no, I pulled up the Fort Wilderness Resort campsites. Camp amid the magic of the great outdoors. Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort campground evokes the timeless beauty of the American frontier, with deer, rabbits, ducks, and armadillos roaming the resort's 750 acres of pine and cypress forest.
Okay, I have a question for Eliz and Lorenzo. If this is something that you remember from 2006, because that seems to be where the knowledge has stopped in our expert. There's an island in Disney, right?
I knew you were, like, this is on the notes. This is on the notes. I know where you're going.
Okay, so Eliz, do you know this island? I don't remember what it's called. But I saw a show about it the other day. I don't know what I was watching that I saw a show about it the other day. But basically, you can pass it on the little ferry from where you buy the tickets to where you enter the park that at one point used to be like a giant kind of like zoo / petting zoo type thing. And then once they opened Animal Kingdom, they took all of the animals off the island and they took them over there and they basically just abandoned the island. And then over the years, there have been people who have broken and snuck onto the island, and they'll like go on with like their GoPro and whatever, and they're idiots because then they go and they put it on YouTube or whatever, and then they end up getting arrested for trespassing because they show the world, hey, I was trespassing. But I'm wondering what you guys know about this island.
I'm glad you got that out of me, Billy. This was what once was known as the Forgotten Project, Disney's River Country. So this was open like the 1970s, and basically it's what Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach eventually became.
Dude, but those places are awesome. Sorry, no tangent.
Absolutely,
those yeah.
Absolutely. The water parks are fantastic. But this is more of a like a an American river town theme to it. It was that little island in the middle of the like the ferry that you go to Magic Kingdom, but it has been closed off since the 70s.
Yeah, I hate to do this to you, Lorenzo, but we're talking about different islands. Like, that's not the island I was talking about. I was talking about something called Discovery Island. River Country is another thing that closed, not in the 70s, it closed in 2001. So 5 years before you were there. And Discovery Island was open from 1974 to 1999. So apparently there are two abandoned islands. And yes, Lorenzo?
It is Discovery Island.
Yeah.
This is actually amazing. We've done a podcast where it's not hard to follow, but our expert literally has presented every fact, and almost every fact has been incorrect.
I would like to apologize to all the listeners because I pitched this idea to Billy because I had heard Lorenzo talk about this NBA Disney thing all morning, and he was spitting fire. He was talking about the ping pong. He was talking about Chris Paul ratting on players.
Oh, yeah.
The, any rules.
Snitch Paul. Okay, Snitch Paul calling the in the anonymous line.
None of it. It's
time
gone.
Out. Time out.
They
time
made
out.
That for him. He's the one that's going to be ratting out people, playing out. Too close with the playing video games and 2K way too close to each other.
Time out.
They're sneaking out.
Lorenzo, stop.
Time out. Where has all of this been? Because you haven't gotten to any of these takes, any of these ideas, anything. All you've gotten to is reading websites and presenting facts incorrectly on things. I was going to ask you if Discovery Island, if we could send the teams that have lost to Discovery Island. But you don't even know about Discovery Island. You were talking about Riverwalk something.
That was the other failed project, Disney project.
I don't really know. So many takes
this morning.
That's where like, are they? Can we go through them?
All right. How much tampering is going to go on at this Disney World NBA Summit tournament? It's going to be amazing to watch just how many – like, Pat Riley's going to be there. And guess who's staying at the Grand Destino Tower Hotel?
Giannis.
Not only
Giannis.
Heat and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm. Let's get ready. The Don is going to work his magic at the most magical place on Earth.
Do you think Pat Riley's going?
No.
Hmm. I thought early on this morning I did think that the Godfather would go.
Why would you think that? Out of curiosity.
But I mean, because the like front office guys are going to show up.
Well, I'm just curious if you've read this or these are just all your like theories, and then you like listen, look on Pat, the internet and you're like, oh, it wasn't River Country, it was Adventure Island. You
if
know?
Pat wants to go to the Walt Disney World NBA tournament, he's going to go.
Got it.
Freaking
okay.
Riley.
Sure.
If all not, right. he's going to get Spoelstra to do some to work some magic, or he's going to get Bam Adebayo to do some recruiting. Like it's going to happen, guys. Get used to it. Get ready.
That's right. One take.
That's one take.
Take us through your Chris Paul memes and how much you like the memes from last night.
Oh, I went through a rabbit hole once Charlie said, "Hey, check out these Chris Paul memes that are going on." There's so many good ones. There's like it's him with like it's the Paul Pierce with two phones.
Can you explain the origin of the meme and why they went viral?
We've reached the point where Charlie Kravitz is holding your hand, walking you through the Loren zone or whatever you want to call this today.
I didn't sign up for this, man. I didn't put the Loren zone on this one. It's not trademarked as a Loren zone. I was just, hey, let's talk about Disney World. I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. And NBA, awesome. It's going to be so exciting. I told Billy at one point when this started that reporters had to be there for 3 months. Three and a half months. They had to quarantine with the players. And on the surface, it sounded awesome. I'm like, Billy, imagine if we can just finagle some way to recover the NBA tournament from Disney World.
Let's go and back to the memes.
I'm going to have a child. I can't do that.
Yeah.
What?
The memes are
where did we get that? Just came out of nowhere.
It really is what Billy said, where like Charlie's like trying to, you know, he's got his little kid in front of his friends. Hey, do that thing you did earlier.
You saw what happened though there,
so
right?
Great. He's like, I like memes. Like, great. Okay.
But you saw what happened. He let go of his hand for a little bit, and then we started walking around in hotels, and Lorenzo's having a kid. Like,
you got to go to guest services and put in a lost child report.
What are you talking
we
about?
We need to. We're talking about Disney World. That's what you do when there's a lost child. You go to guest services. You tell one of the local cast members, hey, there's a lost child. I'm trying to remember what the secret code was for that, but I can remember when someone threw up, it was called a protein spill.
When someone vomited, it would be called a protein spill?
That's correct.
What else do you know? Can I say this? And you're going to make me not say it. Lorenzo told me when he used to work at Disney World that there was a secret button on the back of the Fast Pass machine and that you would just push the button on the Fast Pass machine. And what would happen was someone would I didn't get a Fast Pass or whatever. And you had to kind of like sneakily be like, oh, pretend to be fixing machine. And just put a secret button on the back and it would put out Fast Passes for people.
Wow.
Disney magic.
But Lorenzo, you see, like you have these nuggets and you have these thoughts not sharing.
You gotta get them out of me. You have to like lead me.
No, Billy told that story. He didn't get that out of you.
Well, also another thing that, so when I was a cast member at Disney World, I got in trouble I got a little reprimand where, hey Lorenzo, you're giving away too many no strings attached tickets. No strings attached. were these little coupons, basically, with Pinocchio on them, thus no strings attached. And you would basically fill out, like,
because he's a puppet.
If someone's ice cream fell,
or a real boy,
like, hey, don't worry, I got this for you. No strings attached. Ice cream bar at a fast food stop. So you basically gave out like comps. Free. It was basically comps. What I started doing was I would start conversations with guests in the park that it was their first time or anniversary. They were celebrating their anniversary or whatnot. And I'd be like, oh, have you ever been, if it's your first time, have you been on Tower of Terror? That's my favorite ride. And my favorite attraction, I would write down, here, take a fast pass. So I would basically just like hand out way too many, no strings attached.
And it sounds like you were very nice.
I was.
Yeah.
I,
were you just walking around, like cruising the park, starting conversations with people?
No. I.
What was
I
your was, job?
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's exactly what he was doing.
I was.
What was your job?
I was in operations, which is basically attractions, and I was assigned to the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular.
Oh my Disney, God!
At the Disney Hollywood Studios. So ask me how many times I've been in the actual show.
How many?
Five times.
Did you get to run underneath the boulder?
No, I did all of the extras. You know, they at the beginning of every show, they choose three different extras, or three different sets of extras, one of which are the laughers. Everyone laughs. And then, like, the last person, they turn down the pitch. So it's like this big, they go like, we want your most sinister, evil laugh. And then it would be like this, like, booming. there was, you had to, like, pose.
Let's do a little Indiana Jones show right now. Give us roles and let's do a little Indiana times. Jones show.
Let's do the five things you did.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, they're different. Like you get situated in different spots in the like in the bazaar scene. Like when Indiana Jones is rolling around.
Right, so we're in the bazaar.
There are a lot of explosions going on. You don't realize just how hot some of those explosions are.
So what did you do?
I had an in with one of the stunt guys. His name was Digny. Digny was Cuban. So I was like, oye, Digny, ¿cómo tú estás? And he basically, like a lot of the people in the show, I became very friendly with. So then when I would come on my days off, I'd show up to watch the show and enjoy it. And then they'd
be would go on your days off?
That's what we would call playing in the park on your days off. You'd go, you basically got them free. So
you were supposed to be telling us what you did on the shows, though. Now we're talking about Digny.
Well, yeah, you want me to go through the whole Indiana Jones epic stuff?
Just you. Give us some of your. You were on there five times. What were your best performances?
Billy, like there's a part you have to follow Marion. You have to follow Marion around, or they're actress playing Marion, and there would be a part where like the guy from they replicated a lot of the stunts from the movie. So there's the guy with the scimitar and he's like swirling it around, and then Indy just shoots
him. What did you do?
I was a laugher once.
Let's get a laugh.
Give us an Indiana Jones, good hearty Indiana Jones laugh.
And they would just lower the pitch, so it was like this, the timbre was like really loud and booming.
Okay, so do the lower one. If you can.
I can't. I don't have
just do your best.
I don't have the auto-tune capabilities.
Pretend Charlie's Digny, and he just cast you in the show.
Oye!
And you want to show off for Digny.
Oye, Digny!
Perfect. It was all worth it.
There you go.
Fight. Good
that
job.
Was one, that was only one of five, though, Charlie. Well, we have five.
I also worked at Star Tours for a bit.
Oh,
Star Tours, which is the Star Wars.
Star Tours,
that was
cool.
That was a lot of fun because, as the Star Wars fan that I am, like you basically it was the only place you could actually tout a lightsaber. So I would have one on hand, and like the little kids would come in their Jedi robes, and you're like, all right, let's go, young Jedi, young Padawan, and you also had that really snazzy orange jumpsuit that they would wear.
Yeah,
the past version of the. The costume.
But if you don't mind me asking, I thought we were talking about your five appearances in Indiana Jones. Why are we in Star Wars now?
No, I duplicated roles. Like I was
either the
laugher, a screamer. You also had to scream.
Oh, let's go. Give us a scream.
I
Oh yeah. Zoe, give me a scream, bro.
Ah!
Pretty good.
All right. Yeah, all right.
What other jobs did you have there before we kind of wrap up this NBA preview?
The dream job that I wanted that I never got because I wasn't there for the extended college program period. And it's a ride that holds a very special place in my heart. The Great Movie Ride, which is, it's no longer there.
Oh,
let's go. I don't think the Great Movie Ride is there.
Correct.
Is that it's correct?
Not,
they
yeah,
got rid of it.
Retired.
It was a journey through Hollywood cinema, and you would get to see, there's like a Wizard of Oz scene. There was a gangster scene. The best thing about being the attraction operator was that you were a part of the attraction, part of the ride. At one point, the tour guide, whether you were a mobster or a cowboy, there basically someone would hijack the ride. A movie character would hijack the ride. And at the end, your faithful tour guide to the movies would come out and be like the hero of the attraction. So the thespian in me, the actor in me, was dying for that.
Did you ever, Lorenzo, like in your off days or whatever you called them, like run around and play with the ball, like in the trench or whatever, or no?
I was trying to wave to Allison.
I thought Charlie was leaving.
Lorenzo, I've been talking since the last Zoom a month ago because I feel like I just came in and you're still talking.
You have no idea, Allison.
You got to get out now, Allison. You got to get out right now. It's your only chance. I thought Elizabeth was waving goodbye, and I was like,
"I did too." I thought you two were both leaving. I got really excited. I was like, "You guys are leaders. You guys are my heroes."
I thought Charlie
was
leaving. I was
just excited to see Allison.
Allison, just a quick recap of what you've missed so far. We brought on Lorenzo because he wanted to break down the hotels in Disney World the NBA teams are going to stay at. He didn't know what teams were staying where. He got confused about that. Then he...
Three hotels, not four. I said four originally.
He wanted to be our Disney expert and has gotten a ton of facts wrong that we just as basic Disney simpletons knew off the top of our head. And he as our expert has gotten wrong. We've gone all over the place. We started talking about how he worked at Indiana Jones and then he was talking about Star Wars. He told us how when he worked at Disney World, he got in trouble because he'd just walk up to strangers and start conversations and start giving them like these coupons where they'd get free things. And they told him, you got to stop doing that. You're giving away too much free stuff.
Pins. I gave away a lot of pins as well, like the lanyards that you would have with Disney pins.
Did you give them to Mike Ryan?
What?
Can we see your face? Or
this is a real doozy.
Show us your face, Allison.
Tell us about pin trading then, Lorenzo, since you're talking about pins.
No.
Well, pin trading, I think it's still a thing, right? Right, Elizabeth? They still are. Like, the pin trading business is... It's not
something I'm into, but I think we'll still do it.
We lost Allison. Pin trading, that's all it took.
How do you think a live version of the Lorenzo would go?
Oh, God. Disastrous. I'm trying to see exactly how much pin trading has brought in the Disney company. It's a lot.
Like Disney owned Pinterest, that'd be really good for them to post pin-related content on Pinterest.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
There are a number of people that have like websites devoted for pin trading, for pin trading. There are pins that only cast members get that have like a specific little like hidden Mickey in them to indicate that they're rare.
Ooh, tell us about hidden Mickeys.
Oh, well, that's a good one. Thank you, Billy. Actually, I can tell you what the largest hidden Mickey once was. Elizabeth, do you know this one?
I do not.
Did you own the hidden Mickey book, Lorenzo?
No. I remember a few of them from the Disney Adventures magazines. Like I remember reading about them in there. And I mean, once you work there, you start finding out some of the hidden Mickeys, like in the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster. There's like these cables that form the three shapes of Mickey's head. And the Disney Hollywood Studios itself was a Mickey Mouse head, a face. But then once they added the old Hollywood expansion, like the Tower of Terror area, that whole thing, they bulldozed all the studios that formed the other ear. And now with Disney's Galaxy's Edge, it's all a mess. But that used to be a hidden Mickey. There's a Hidden Mickey in, there's a few in Star Tours.
You want to tell like anyone listening what a Hidden Mickey is? Because nobody knows what you're talking about.
Is this going to make the...
This isn't like, going on, Andy.
What do you think, Billy? You have to edit this podcast. Why are you doing this to yourself?
A Hidden Mickey...
What do you imagine this sounding like on the back end? Like,
a Hidden
like,
Mickey
seriously, what
is
do you,
any
how do you think you're
kind of...
Lorenzo,
any,
you cannot be deterred. This is unbelievable.
This is, a Hidden Mickey is... What's crazy about it is Lorenzo brings that, notes to every podcast. He brings notes. Mm-hmm. He's the most prepared person, and I don't know how he deviates from them. I don't even get like I wish I was that prepared on the front end, but then I would just stick to my outline. It's amazing.
I'm not gonna lie, the outline
I can't talk to that in that line.
The outline wasn't really fleshed out, I'm not gonna lie.
What's on your outline? Why don't we just see what we covered and what we didn't, and then we'll just quickly cover what didn't get covered on the way out and head out.
All right. So Hidden Mickeys are any instance of Mickey Mouse that are hidden throughout the parks. The Disney Imagineers hide little either silhouettes of Mickey, or sometimes it's a doll of Mickey Mouse. And for example, in the Tower of Terror, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror ride,
yeah,
a little girl's holding a Mickey Mouse doll. In the flashback video,
check it out if you haven't yet.
Eliz, what's your favorite Hidden Mickey?
To be honest, I thought that they were all like the big circle with the two circle ears. I didn't realize that they could be other things. So I don't know if I have an answer to that.
Eliz is probably right.
In front of Muppets 3D.
Spoiler alert:
Muppet
she was right.
Vision 3D. There's an inflatable raft that got standing on that's a Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Lorenzo has just about the same chance of being right on this as Pat Riley attending the
NBA. No, these are I've seen these. I found these Hidden Mickeys. I know them through
River Island.
I think they are cool for people who go to the parks a lot. It gives you something to look for or do. Like on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, there's three gems that form a Mickey. But I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily super interesting.
That was helpful.
Who? What NBA player is going to find the most hidden Mickeys?
God bless the NBA fans who listen to this podcast. Read the description of this podcast
Mickey
and said, "Hey,
scavenger.
Levitard and friends decided to do a little NBA preview. Let me check this
John
out.
Wall's not going, Lorenzo.
Oh my goodness.
He's not getting. Oh, the Wizards aren't going.
No. The Wizards are going. He has a torn Achilles.
Yeah, but he's going to go root on his team.
No, yeah, that's what they. That's exactly what they want. Just people that aren't going to be participating in.
Isn't
there
that
the
Kyrie's
trying...
big deal? Like,
what? All right, we'll do another Lorenzo on Kyrie Irving. This is
all right, quite... Lorenzo.
The last little nugget that I had. Did you guys know about the secret paintbrushes on Tom Sawyer Island?
No. Tell me more.
Okay, so that was it. They no longer do this, but back in the day, they used to hide these white paintbrushes throughout Tom Sawyer Island. Tom Sawyer Island is really it's really one of those attractions that people don't spend too much time. You have to go on the Mark Twain.
So there's hidden paintbrushes.
Island.
Didn't
on
one of those
islands?
Two characters get the other one to paint the fence?
Yeah,
that's how the story went.
Yeah, it is.
Was it Tom Sawyer that got Huck Finn to paint the fence, or was it the other way around?
It's the other way around. Huck Finn got
Tom Sawyer to paint the fence.
Fun fact.
What did Lorenzo say?
Mark Twain's house is like a mile from me that way.
Oh wow. That's right. In
Connecticut. Oh, I've seen it. I've seen that when I lived in Connecticut. Yeah, there you go. How about that?
All comes
that's
back
a good place to stop this podcast. And,
wait, hold on a second.
Start again.
Wait, hold on.
Have we started yet?
No, but wait, hold on. What was the point of the hidden brush story?
Oh, if you would find one of the every morning they would hide seven brushes on Tom Sawyer Island. If you found one of them, you were gifted a number, like a booklet of fast passes. Basically, the no strings attached. You'd get a bunch of those for Magic Kingdom attractions, which. Any other fun facts
you want to tell us about the sword and the stone? Anything like that, Lorenzo?
I've never been able to pull it out of the stone. I've never been able to crowned the King of England. There is a Merlin magician show that takes place at the Sword and the Stone. I don't know if that's still going on.
There's a what now?
Merlin. Merlin, the wizard, the sorcerer, he comes by and does a magic show. Right in front of the sword in magic at the Magic Kingdom.
Is that still a thing though? Like when you pull out the sword, you get to be in the parade or whatever.
That used to be the case. I know what you're talking about. You would be able to like everyone. You try as you might. You can't pull a sword. They choose one special kid, and he would come out and be able to pull King Arthur's sword.
How did that work?
I don't know. Magnets? I always say magnets.
But was it like the same time every day or just like random?
I was assigned to the Magic Kingdom. I mean to the Hollywood Studios, so I don't know. That one, I don't know. You stumped me, Billy. Discovery Island.
Zoe, any final Disney secrets? Any NBA predictions? I feel like
two last nuggets. One, did you know? Let me see. Oh no, the paintbrushes were one of the nuggets. The other nugget. Do you know what Epcot was supposed to be?
What was Epcot supposed to be?
Because it was a giant golf ball?
Yes, it was supposed to be more than just a giant golf ball. It's Spaceship Earth, by the way. It's probably
that's what I'm saying. That's my guess. It was a golf resort. So it's
no,
a giant golf ball.
No. Before Walt Disney's death, he had this vision of what Epcot was supposed to be. Do you know that Epcot is an acronym? Eliz is all about this. She's shaking her head. She knows what I'm talking about. Do you know what Epcot stands for, Eliz?
Experimental Prototype City of Tomorrow.
Community of Tomorrow, but yes, yeah. It was. So Walt Disney had this.
I'm going to verify
vision.
That Lorenzo's right and Eliz is wrong. I think so too.
Okay, go look it up, but it's community. Basically, Walt Disney had this vision that Epcot was supposed to be this like utopia world where the technology and cutting edge science and the different people of the world would converge upon this community to kind of build a better society. And that's what you kind of get at the beginning of Epcot when you go in, and it's future world. And that's, they kind of merged it and made it Future World and the World Showcase, which was to highlight the different cultures of the world and also show where we've been, Spaceship Earth, and where we could go, Future World.
Actually, Lorenzo, I have an update for you. It's been interchangeable throughout time between city and community.
Also, the poutine.
Sorry, Liz.
The poutine at the Restaurant Canada, unreal.
The last time I went to Disney World, I went to Le Cellier.
Great
Canada.
Poutine.
And what were you there for?
Great wine selection, too, if I remember properly.
What were you there for?
Damn you, Billy. I hate you. My numbskull friends decided to take me there for my bachelor party.
You were so happy.
I don't know why you're pretending.
That's right, because he wheeled his little R2-D2 suitcase out of the office, raring to go down to Disney World.
Which my wife gave me.
Hold on. You don't know about Lorenzo's R2-D2 suitcase?
There's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot to unpack here. We
literally.
No pun intended.
Lorenzo has a carry-on suitcase that is, yes, he's gonna going to get it. It's literally an R2-D2.
Lorenzo also missed his flight to his own bachelor party.
What? How did that happen?
Which we can get.
He wasn't finishing up stuff at the office, right? He was like late getting out. Yeah.
Yeah. His friends were just like, were there or like waited for like 13 hours for him to show up the next morning on his next flight.
Also, it's perfect that he's now left the podcast where he can be talking about this and defending himself so he can show us something that nobody's going to see on this podcast.
Wait a minute. His friends were at the airport waiting for him. And I think he didn't show up, and then they
called, and then they didn't go to the park. There's a convoluted story where 13 hours are involved, and he was 13 hours late.
Stand by. I'm looking for R2.
I can't see you.
I'm looking for R2. Hold up.
Lorenzo, it doesn't – you can just send us a picture later. This is audio.
I'd like to
audio
see
medium.
Just let it be known. I don't know what was said because my
I said you missed
wireless
your flight.
You're wearing your headphones still, so I think you do know what you said.
No, cut off because I was looking for, I got out of the range of the receiver.
This is how I feel right now. This is
the R2-D2 suitcase is always a topic of conversation. Everyone's always like, oh, they always point and they're like, oh, that's pretty cool, including a 10-year-old kid.
Digney's back.
On my way to some trip with my wife. I think to our honeymoon, I had my luggage and I was on the metro to Reagan International, and some little kid had the exact same suitcase.
Imagine that. You had a child suitcase.
And I like your style, kid.
That was a bold like callback to Digney, Billy, as if you're going to edit that part of the podcast.
Lorenzo, how often
I'd love
does that
to look up
to
what
you?
Digney's doing. He's an actual stuntman. Like, a lot of the people in the show were like,
oh,
actual
man.
Stuntmen in movies and.
Wait, hold on. So tell us a story about your bachelor party.
Oh no, please no. can we make this the last story of the podcast? Can this be it, please? Okay, all right.
What?
Did it sound with a flourish? So,
are we talking about how
you're all of it? You missing your flight? Take us. To the end. Take us from the you leaving the office.
It was an off day. We were off that day. We were off the day that I was supposed to fly out.
So did you just go in to show off your suitcase, or why were you there with your suitcase?
No, I brought in my suitcase for other trips. That's why I think you guys are combining two different.
You brought R2-D2 on your bachelor party. I know that for a fact.
I mean, I took it with me. That's my suitcase, but I didn't bring it to the office because it was my day off. I got to Reagan late on my day off. my other two friends were waiting for me. They were like, "Where the hell are you, Zoe?" The metro was on a massive delay. I should have left way earlier than I did, but I missed my flight, and I had to wait something like 4 hours to get on the next flight to Orlando to fly down to freaking Disney World for my bachelor party. I've never been to Vegas. Listen, I love Disney, as we've kind of established in this podcast. I freaking love it, but I'm planning on Disney World for my bachelor party. I'm thinking Atlantic City. I'm thinking Vegas. I'm thinking something.
What would you do in Las Vegas? Like, you're going to go to like the pool parties.
I want to go to rehab. I want to go to the Bellagio, the pool party, Charlie. You know what I'm talking about. Come on.
I know. I had no idea that was a Vegas pool party.
I want to do the debaucherous stuff in Vegas. I don't want to, we ate at Le Cellier and we did some drink around the world. That's another thing. So we did this. We were at Epcot on a Saturday, and we were all flying back and coming back to the reality on Sunday. So a few of my friends were like, no, we don't want to get too trashed on a Saturday. So they started handing off friends to drink with me around the world. And I'm like, I see what you guys are doing. I was the only one drinking around the world. What the hell?
So who do you have? Who do you have making it out of the East, Lorenzo?
Well,
just say the Heat. We know you want us. Don't.
No,
give us
no, they're going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But let's see, who do I have? I mean, I think it's got to be the Bucks, right? If it's not the Bucks, no. Charlie Kravitz is shaking his head.
No, it's up to you. I want to hear your take.
It's going to be interesting. I don't know the odds. The odds are kind of the same before the season ended, but should they be? Because there's a number of factors at play here. If players get the Rona,
pick a team, please.
I don't want to pick the Celtics.
Okay, and the West. Then we'll just go to the West.
I'll go. You know what? I'm gonna give it to the 76ers.
Wow.
I think as
we found out, Joel Embiid just has his license, which was an adorable tweet. He's asking for car recommendations, which is also great.
Yeah.
George Goma.
And great from job. The West, I think it's going to be Lakers and.
Only one team makes it out, so it's.
I know, but for the final. Team. For the final, I'm trying to think.
Charlie, do you have a Tacoma there?
Yeah.
You're wondering about that other product I was plugging. No, I got on the way to North Carolina, my car broke down. I have a Prius and the hybrid system broke. And so they gave me a Toyota Tacoma as a loaner, and I fell in love with the Toyota Tacoma. So I think there might be a Toyota Tacoma in the future for me.
Can I tell you guys something that's very traumatic to me that happened when I was 16?
Sure.
Please do.
Yeah. So like right when I was getting my license, I was 16. I have an older brother who's 2.5 years older, and it's getting my driver's license, and he had had my dad's passed down Toyota 4Runner for his last years of high school before he was going to college. About a week before I got my driver's license, he took a turn in our neighborhood and some dude was driving on his cell phone and like had a glancing blow car accident, but like they're both fine. But what sucked was somehow the front chassis or the front part of this front axle got hooked on the other car and just completely ripped off the front axle of the 4Runner. So I just, you know, got my license, and the car that I would have had if my brother was going to college was just gone. And it was devastating to 16-year-old me.
Hey, Toyota, make it right, okay? Make Charlie Kravitz's wish.
Send Mr. Kravitz a car.
Please.
This is really tough. Pretty please. Really tough when you're 16 and you think you're getting a car.
Yeah.
Listen, you want to go places, Charlie.
This is a spoiled problem. I'm just saying. You think you're getting the car. It sucks when you don't.
Are you still speaking to your brother, or are you still holding that against him?
I've mostly let it go.
All right. So before we wrap things up.
Yeah, one more story, Zeph.
Please.
Well,
no,
I have one more question. I have one more question about your suitcase. So, like, is that your primary suitcase that you take with you everywhere you go? So, like, if you're going to, like, adult functions, like a wedding at, like, a vineyard or something, or, like, a funeral out of town, are you rolling up to, like, the hotel that you're staying at for the funeral with an R2-D2?
Unfortunately, yeah, that is the case, yes.
That is the suitcase, would you say?
It is a suitcase I'm looking for.
What?
It's a Star Wars reference. Oh, yeah, all right, I'm done with
it. Not the droids you're looking for. Yeah, all right, let's get him out on that. That's good.
Any final thoughts, though? Is that another podcast?
Do you want another thought? You haven't had enough thoughts? Ooh, here's one. Oh.